I am Professor Vladan Joler from the University of Novi Sad in Serbia. Also, I am director of Share Foundation and one research group called Share Lab.
Vladan, good morning, and thank you very much for your time today.
Good morning, good morning.
Data mining firm Cambridge Analytica uses what it calls behavioral micro-targeting. Can you please explain to us in plain what behavioral micro-targeting is?
So unfortunately, micro-targeting, behavioral micro-targeting on internet, it's something that is so present that it's basically the main business model of most of the biggest and most influential companies nowadays on internet, such as Google, Facebook, and others. Idea behind micro or nano targeting is based on it's really simple. So you try to collect as much as data you can about each user. Then you are using different kinds of like algorithms, different kinds of tool to analyze this data and to make some conclusions, to make different kinds of like profiles, like or psychological profiles or different groups of people or whatever, clusters of people. And then you're, based on this information, trying to serve them, in most of the cases, some advertisement or messages or whatever. So this, what we had in the case of Cambridge Analytica, it's the same idea or same business model that is basically responsible for the success of Google and Facebook.
Also, Vladan, how companies like Cambridge Analytica can illegally obtain Facebook profiles data?
I think there is many ways. And now if we go in that direction, then we can go in direction of, like, I don't know, different hacking techniques or different ways to access the databases. But I think in this case, like particularly the case of Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, it's not something that we can call a data breach.
Mm-hmm.
And because basically what they did, they used like functionality of Facebook. They used the possibility that Facebook API was giving a few years ago. So they made like really simple questionnaire, one of those apps, one of those thousands and thousands of apps on Facebook that are making those questionnaires, you know, like what kind of type of person you are, which music do you like, these kind of things. So they made one of those apps and they collected different types of data from all of the people that use that app. But what was like really problematic in this case is that this system allowed them in that moment, that was like a few years ago, allowed them to collect not just information about the users of that app, but also the friends of those users. So their preferences, their data about them. So that was the model that allowed them to collect those, like what they say today, like 50 million data about 50 million people in United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not classical like data breach or hacking or something like this. It's more, it looks like now that it's more like the fault of Facebook as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Through your project Share Lab, you have been mapping how Facebook is mapping our data and what it does with it all. How do you do that?
So that was like something that we were doing like for the last few years, and we did like a different methods of analysis. So we wanted to deal with an issue and with one topic that was mostly in academic and activist circles, known as algorithmic transparency. So idea behind algorithmic transparency is basically a question: what we can know and what are the methods of knowing what those algorithms are doing. So we did that like specifically from the position of someone who is outside of this black box. So we tried to test different methodologies, and at the end, we managed to make some kind of really big, black, and complex map. And on those maps, we represented, like, on one side, different types of data they are collecting. On the other side of the map, how they are basically selling us as a profiles. And then in the middle, we try to deal with this mosaic within this black box. So, like, we try to map different kinds of methods of storaging, different methods of analysis, different algorithms, different processes. And that was really, really, really complicated. And in a way, it's really rare, something like this, because, like, most of the companies doesn't allow us to go into those algorithms and to understand how they're basically transforming our behavior into profit. So what we found is, like, between 7,000 and 8,000 different publicly available patents, and then by reading them, we were able to understand different parts of this mosaic. So, for example, different algorithms, different processes, and there is a lot of information that we were able to gain. But in the same way, I would really like to address our, you know, that our capacity in understanding what is really happening within those, like, black boxes, it's, like, really, really limited. So,
yeah.
we made some success with that, and it was, like, you know, but at the end, I'm really skeptical in capacity. Not just us as a I don't know, independent investigators or something like this, but also as governments around the world to be able to go deep into those algorithms.
Mm. What would you say, do we basically all, I mean, Facebook profiles work for Facebook, and how?
So that's, like, an idea that's going back maybe somewhere around, like, beginning of 2000 and mostly, like, media theory circles, and it's related to concept of immaterial work. And concept of immaterial work, it's saying to us that even, like, when we are liking, commenting, sharing pictures, writing some posts on those social media and internet in general, we are basically working. And in this case, we are working for Facebook. And to go back to our map and our previous research, we on that, like, production chain, if we can call that, in within this immaterial factory, we as a human users, we are basically a resource, not just workers, but we are also a resource for the production. So our emotions, our interests, our behavior is basically a resource for the production.
Yeah.
In the same time, we are also, like, workers. And, but there are, like, new types of workers in this chain. It's algorithms. So basically those algorithms, they are transforming our behavior into profit. And if we think about the amount of work that we are doing, so, like, let's say that there is, like, 1 billion people using Facebook each day, and they spend around 20 minutes per day doing clicking, liking, reading, whatever, that is around 300 million of free hours of labor per day.
Huge amount of hours, isn't it? Also, looking at the big picture, do we contribute to Facebook production even merely browsing the net?
Sure. Like in our previous research, we analyzed, for example, the top 100 websites that people from, in that case, Serbia, are visiting on a daily basis. So we found, like, from 100 websites, on 50 of them, there were some Facebook trackers, Facebook cookies or pixels. And in 90% of those websites, there was Google trackers installed. So that means that in when we are browsing the net, we are basically stepping on little, you know, little privacy bombs, and those, like, little piece of software, piece of code are transmitting the information about our visits. So even we for example, don't actively use Facebook, but we have a, I don't know, like Facebook account. All of our, like in 50% of our like online browsing, they have information where we are, what we are interested in, and so on, so on. So
logically,
it's not just browsing the internet. You know, within your so, for example, when you are installing an application on your mobile phone, you are just clicking this accept button for everything that appears there. But basically, you are giving them chance to an approval to collect also a lot of different types of data. And then we are, you know, browsing the internet is just one sphere. Another sphere, it's you know, like data about locations, data about like different sensors that you have on your mobile phone, call logs, whatever else. You know? This data gathering operation, it's like huge.
So, Vladan, how can we and can we protect ourselves?
Well, that's a really difficult question, but I think like the first step is that we try to understand what's going on, because then this is the problem that we faced in the last few years by doing this research, that it's our capacity to understand is like really, really limited. And now we are like surprised, you know, like by different events happening in the last year or few years. But basically we should try to find a way how better to make those systems transparent, because if they are not transparent in a way, we will not be able to understand what are the threats, and we are not be able to understand what are the main business models behind the internet if we don't understand what's going on within those black boxes such as Facebook and Google and others. And so this is the first step, and then we can try to think what is the idea of privacy in 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, by being blind, we cannot make decision what's good, what's bad for us, and what do we expect or and what not. And so and yes, we can use different tools to anonymize our online behavior, to browse the internet like more securely or whatever. But if it's really sad that we need to make a lot of effort for that, and we need all the time to be in a fight for something that is our basic right on privacy and others. So we should like seriously try to rethink what we as a human race want to do in future with that. And it's really pity that we allowed this concentration of wealth, power in such a places that are so not transparent in a way about their business models, about what they are doing, what kind of data they collect, and what they do with this data. So in context, to go back on Cambridge Analytica, this what we saw, it's just the tip of the iceberg that is, you know, like the down part, this invisible part, it's like much bigger problem. And the much bigger problem, it's that we that this is the main business model that is now there on the internet.
Vladan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you a lot. It was a pleasure.